Evidence Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 19th on the West Coast, now May the 20th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, and of course, everywhere east of the East Coast. We'd like to also welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and we know you're going to find tonight's show very interesting. I had announced last night at the close of the show, as well as earlier in the week, that I would be covering Jack Parsons and the curious origins of the American space program. However, we have something even more interesting tonight. I have two guests that were invited at the last minute due to a very interesting piece that one of our guests posted on the internet today. And we're going to be going down the rabbit hole and underground tunnels and all of that stuff on our topic tonight. But before we bring our two guests, Ken Adachi and Zura Nova Star Livingstone, on board, I just want to remind you that we really know what's going on, and we really don't need any light.
Oh,
Well, Jeffrey Osborne said it many years ago for us, and as I always say, if there's a big problem and a message to come out revealing the truth, somebody's always already written a song about it, and such is the case tonight. Our guests tonight have been instrumental in, along with myself and Jim Murray and myself is the proper way to say it, I guess, in exposing what has happened in Japan. And we've been told that we were 100% accurate in our determination in as to what occurred in Japan. And you're not hearing it in the mainstream media, and there's no reason for fear. But be looking over your shoulder for the next false flag event. We'll say that much. Now, that doesn't mean a flurry of emails. We're not fear-mongering here tonight. In fact, we're going to debunk the debunkers, and we're going to dedicate tonight's show to General Jeremiah, the United Galactic Federation Galaxy of Hendon, and my two guests, Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. First, Ken hosts a website, educate-yourself.org. And Z.S. also posts his essays there on Ken's site. And they're a good match for a roundtable discussion on tonight's topic, General Jeremiah and Planet Belqui Photos. First, I'd like to welcome to the show Ken Adachi. Ken, how are you doing tonight?
Thank you very much, Don. Glad to be back with you again.
Okay, and let's call ZS on board. ZS, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great.
All right.
Beautiful day here in the high 70s.
Oh, lucky you. Lucky you. I think today's the first day we didn't have major rain. So I don't know how long that's going to last, but I'm envious. Ken, you alerted me to the fact that you wrote an article. Actually, you started responding to an email that you got from one of your readers at your website. And why don't you share that with the listening audience, your motivation for this enormous piece that you wrote?
Yes, what I posted today was a actually last night, late last night, was a continuation of a conversation that I've had with people who've sent in letters to me. And the first one I, in this regard, had to do with the Galactic Federation General Jeremiah information, and I posted that one on the. On the May 10th, it was a letter asking me what I thought about the doom and gloom prophecies or scenarios that are so prevalent today on the internet concerning what's going to happen in 2012, and it also touched on the Galactic Federation, who they were. I had recently posted a piece by Franz Ertl that, which he wrote, which mainly talked about the, let's say, the psyops nature of 2012 doom and gloom scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got letters there, and so I responded to one on May the 10th that talked about those three elements. And then I got yet another letter from a man in England a couple of days ago that specifically talked about General Jeremiah and the photos you had posted in June of 2009, which you had received from him, which were 26 photos of a planet that he identified as Belqui. And he had told you that the people who are a part of his group, they call themselves the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon is their complete name. He had told you in many private conversations you had with him that this is one of the planets that their members live on. he had been there many times, and he had told you it was a beautiful place. And you, somewhere in the course of conversations you had with him and some years ago, perhaps suggested, or you had an interest perhaps in seeing some photos from that planet, something along that line. Some sort of conversation evolved that way. So they arranged to send you a group of photos showing different parts of the planet, the northern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere. You talked about them on your radio show with me and I'm sure many other guests, I guess. And then you posted them on your site. You also took the time to put together a lengthy video, perhaps 1 hour long, that included those videos and perhaps descriptive narration, etc. And you put that up on your website. So you wanted to share something. Now, that's unusual. You also, in the past, have gotten other unique photos from General Jeremiah. A few years ago, you published a group of photos that showed photographs taken of different planetary bodies and even galaxies and nebulae that normally we would, you know, only get from NASA with pictures from Hubble, et cetera. But you had a unique set of pictures that probably could not be found in any NASA catalog of these planetary bodies, and you posted it then to your website. And at the time, you announced that they're from a friendly extraterrestrial source, I guess. And so you put that up. So when you put these things up, a certain number of people respond to them and say, wow, that's beautiful, that's interesting. And then what also happens, though, is you get people who are skeptical, and which is okay. It's okay if you don't accept the presentation you made about the photos, where you got them from. That's fine. It doesn't matter. If someone doesn't accept the notion that these photos are genuine, that there is a General Jeremiah, that there is a friendly group, extraterrestrial group called the United Galactic Federation, that's okay. It's no skin off my nose. I'm sure it's no skin off your nose.
No.
We
don't ask anyone to believe what we're...
Yeah, that's the point. That's where I'm going. We, in our private conversations, we are not and never have proselytized or evangelized for recruits to come on aboard the General Jeremiah fan club, or the General Jeremiah cult, or the UGF fan club cult. No one's ever asked anyone to join anything. So it's not like we're pitching for converts, because I'm not. We're presenting information. Now, as I mentioned in some of these write-ups and in previous letters to the editors I respond to, in the 4 years that you and I have been talking to each other, we talk on the phone often, very often, in fact, for the last 4 years. Now, you have struck me from the beginning and continue to impress me as an honest individual. I have not had any occasion to hear you tell me story A, and then a month later you say, you reverse it to story B. I've never heard you say anything to me that I could interpret it as dishonesty or any attempted deceit. So as far as I'm concerned, you're an honest individual, and you have no motivation, I don't believe, because I believe you're a person of character. You have no motivation to want to deceive me or anybody. I don't have to tell you, when you get to a certain age in life and a certain point of, let's say, spiritual understanding, whatever inclination one might have had as a younger individual, to, in the interest of convenience, to not be totally honest about things and to bend the truth and so forth, because it's let's say advantageous. As you get older, you become less interested, or let's say you become more dedicated to being honest. I know that's how it is in my own life. I prefer and enjoy and want to be honest. I don't wish to engage in deception or dishonesty because it bothers me intensely. I get much more pleasure out of life, but just playing it straight, you know, just not trying to be deceitful. And I think as one gets older, this urge to be honest in all things intensifies. I think a lot of people, as they get older, tend to get more, you know, some people aren't. Some people are have corrupt souls, have corrupt characters. They're, let's say, you know, their character has been dominated by the dark side. So to them, it's always an advantage to lie in order to gain advantage. Okay, I'm not there, and you're not there. So you started to tell me gradually more information about General Jeremiah and the Galactic Federation. In fact, before he was part of that effort, you had sort of indicated some information about Jeremiah in other regards, because he seemed to have access to a lot of, let's say, inside information that the average person would not know about. And he was interested in cultivating a relationship with you because you have unusual psychic abilities. Now, you don't sell yourself as a psychic, nor do you sell yourself as a dowser, but you definitely have above average ability in this area. And because of particularly your psychic ability, you can get visions of events. And you've reported it to different people in an attempt to help them unmask the truth of a situation. You've contacted some well-known individuals with some certain big deal criminal cases because you got some psychic information that would have been helpful to them. So you wanted to communicate that. And around the year 2000 or so, you had, in November of that year, you were working with a man from MUFON, and you were helping him try to determine the crash location of a UFO event that was reported to have happened in Cape Girardeau, Missouri in 1941. And the members of this MUFON group were looking in the wrong area, and you got a psychic impression of where the actual crash was, which was about 15 miles away from where they were actually looking. And you told them that. And because of that, they knew this fellow Jeremiah, and they wanted him to know that, hey, there's this guy, Don Nikoloff, who seems to be getting pretty good hits on the psychic front. So Jeremiah and you got to talk. And then from there, you gradually formed the friendship, and that became more, let's say, coalesced as the years rolled on. And then in the last few years, this invitation to join with this group, United Galactic Federation, presented itself. Jeremiah accepted their offer. He went through some training, and now they assigned him the rank of general. And now he has command over a large number of personnel, as well as a large number of spacecraft. And he's doing, let's say, yeoman's work in trying to prevent the dark side and the dark aliens from taking over this planet and destroying it and enslaving those who are not destroyed. So anyway, you've told me these events. And prior to May 29 of 2009, I believe. Yeah, 2009. Prior to that, you did not publicly vent this information about who Jeremiah was, who the UGF was, etc. You sometimes revealed some interesting information, but you did it in a very veiled way without specifically naming him as the source. And however, you were privately telling me a lot of things.
Yeah, and that was not for the purpose of obfuscation. That I
no, of course not.
You know, so
anyway, General Jeremiah called your show on May the 29th, and he essentially decided to present himself to the public on that show. And then he called in a second time on July 28th when I was the guest. He didn't even know I was the guest. I just happened to be the guest that night. And he talked again for another hour. Now, I've posted those conversations on my website. They're still up there for anyone to listen to. Now, you got the Balqui photos that same year. It was in June of that year. You received the Balqui photos. And you posted them to your site, et cetera. Now, within, I don't know, 6-8 weeks of that posting, I started to receive a number of emails, as did you, from individuals I did not know, who were claiming that they were longtime readers and fans of my website, but you know they're a little concerned about the so-called Balqui photos because, you know, Ken, I think you're a nice guy, you're doing good stuff, but you know I'm a little worried. You know, I think you bought into this a little too easy. Look at this link I found here on a photo bucket forum in Russia of all places. You know. This is that about one of this, not one. There was 5 or 6 Balqui photos. And then he said, look at this Nicaraguan tourist site. This is the same photo. This Don's calling Balqui, et cetera, et cetera. So I had 5 or 6 or 7, I can't remember exactly, different individuals emailing me. Now, I knew immediately who I'm dealing with here. I don't have to play a game here. I know they're Intel stooges who want to try to get me to respond to them. They want me to post their letter. They want me to start, saying hamana, 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 you know, about the, as if I was embarrassed and, you know. But what I didn't do, I didn't respond to any of them. I took the emails and I copied them and I put them in a folder, knowing the day would come that I would respond to them. But I didn't want to do that at the time because I know what the game is. It takes a lot of time to go through the work to establish that these guys are trying to needle me in the interest of first getting me to pay attention to them and to, you know, have my readers read their stuff. And they obviously, if I were to respond to them and post their letters, then other people would go to these forums where these photographs, which were stolen from your website and then posted there by these Intel people, then a lot of people would start saying, hey, wait a minute, maybe all this Balqui stuff is a lot of hooey, it's et cetera. Well, what's going on here, Ken? You know, I don't want to, you know, I'm just too busy for that. I'm trying to do stuff that's overall beneficial and helpful to humanity. I don't want to spin my wheels and get bogged down by Intel stooges and trolls. So I just ignored them. So they kept it up for a few months, two or three months. I continued to get emails. And a couple cases, these emails were so insistent. They were, you know, obviously trying to needle me and harass me. And I wrote back and I said, listen, you know, if you keep on writing, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Stop communicating with me. I'm going to contact your server. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I says, the day may well come in which I'm going to go after you. I'm going to find out who you really are, and I'm going to expose you for what you are and what you're trying to do. And then suddenly they stopped. These emails stopped. I didn't continue to get them. And that was the fall of 2009, okay?
Now it took them a while to doctor the photos and get these websites.
Yeah, it took a couple months. That's right.
And
otherwise,
when you consider going to Nicaragua for a vacation, right, since the Reagan administration and the Bush administration, do you honestly think that people are going to go there to hang out with the Sandinistas?
Right.
I mean, you know. Mm-hmm. And the whole story is preposterous.
The whole story is preposterous because the people who were sending me these emails and sending me these links to websites that were mostly photo posting forums. You know, there's many of these websites. If you have your photos, you can upload them to this website. Anyone can see them, and it's et cetera. They have different names, photo forum, photo bucket, et cetera. there's a lot of them. And, you know, every country has their own websites devoted to this. So in my write-up, which you mentioned at the beginning of the show, one of the things I mentioned there is that the idea that these four or five or six individuals are, you know, genuine fans, as they claim, the idea that they could come upon an exact duplicate of the Balqui photo on some Russian photo posting forum or some Nicaraguan tourist website is absurd. There is no way in which you can enter into a search engine, let's say Balqui photos, and then some website in Russia is going to pop up with a photo that matches the one you're looking for. As I said in my write-up, we're talking about a photograph here, not a name of a well-known photograph place.
Yeah.
We're talking about a photo. How do you find a photo on the internet that's posted to your website under the heading of Balqui? How can you do that?
Yeah, or
you cannot.
There's a photo published of Mount Fuji, they're alleging it's Mount Fuji, and they're using an American or British or Australian or Canadian English name as the person who supposedly copyrighted this yes. photograph.
Right.
Years ago. Now, you and I together examined Mount Fuji photos, and Mount Fuji doesn't look anything like that.
Yes, let's talk about that for a minute. One of the photos, they, in all, I'm guessing at this point, but they might have stolen 10, 11, 12 of your Balqui photos and put them, I'm talking about Intel agents now. We're not just talking about teenage computer hackers. We're talking about government intel agents are behind this. Posted them to these photo posting forums. There was four or five or six of these different forums. Okay, it's not just one forum. And one of the photos they put up there was a photo of a volcano in the northern hemisphere of Balqui. You have, of your 26 Balqui photos, three of them are devoted to a shot of a volcano. Two of the volcanoes are in the northern hemisphere, and one of the volcano, it's a very long distance shot, is in the southern hemisphere. Now, the two volcanoes in the northern hemisphere you identified as number 5 and number 6. You attached a number to each of your 26 shots. Okay, so 5 and 6. Number 5 is a classical cone-shaped volcano prominence, okay? It has snow on the upper part of the cone. It's a very, let's say, evenly shaped cone. It has the typical, you know, sort of oval cavity at the top, you know, where the volcano normally erupts through, it's et cetera. So Mount Fuji is a very classical looking evenly shaped, cone-shaped volcano. I mean, pretty much all volcanoes are cone-shaped, okay?
Yeah.
Many of them are rather high. If they're in a northern elevation, they get snow around the upper. That's the condition with many volcanoes during, at least, you know, in a northern climate in the wintertime, or at least in a cold climate, you'll have snow there. So from a fast glance, if you're only looking at a cone-shaped volcano, no intelligent person would instantly say, aha, that's Mount Fuji. No, no, no. It looks, you can say, truthfully, it looks sort of like Mount Fuji. Why? Because it's cone-shaped, and it has snow on top.
Mount Fuji is green. Let's point that out.
It could be in some parts, in some time of the year. It depends. The lower elevation depends on the time of the year. It definitely is snow-covered much of the year, okay, because you know it's in the northern part of Japan, and it's what volcano is more photographed or used in more paintings, etc., drawings than Mount Fuji? It has to be the most photographed volcano, represented volcano in art, etc., in the world.
Mm-hmm.
for this, so some of these guys, some of these people who are sending these emails are saying, look, I found these photos of Fuji. And that's the same one that Don's calling the Baoqi volcano. And I would look at their photos, and at least in one case, they were genuine photos of Mount Fuji. Yeah, that's Mount Fuji, but the photo you have is not Mount Fuji. It's a cone-shaped volcano on Baoqi. So these guys weren't really enlarging these photos and looking carefully at east, west, north, and south faces and studying the topography of the rivulets and the erosion channels, et cetera, that are seen with all volcanoes, so that you can get an exact match. They weren't doing that. They're just sort of looking at this general shape and seeing it snow-covered and, frankly, like a moron, saying, oh, that's Mount Fuji. It's no such thing.
Or even beyond that, they're just writing, pretending that that's the case when they know full well.
Oh, yeah, in some cases, yes, yes, yes. I'm not sure any of these individuals are sincere. Okay, and then there's another category of these debunkers who was sending me and you a photo that was put up on a website backdated to the year 2006, and it's supposedly a photo from a website which I guess sells stock photographs. So if you wanted to use a photograph or something, you can, you know, buy it from these folks. Okay. And in this case, they had the intel agents had taken your Baoqi volcano photo, created a web page at this iStock.com website, and then described it as Mount Fuji. And so one of these debunkers included that link that he sent him. He said, look at this. He says, here's a picture of Mount Fuji. You can see it right there. It says it's Mount Fuji, yet it's the same picture that Don's calling a Baoqi picture. Come on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah. So, I'd like to comment on something, too. And that's the fact that even though this alleged Russian website and the Nicaraguan tourist spot.
Yeah.
Where is that scene? Is it in Nicaragua or is it in Russia? Or where is it on this planet? Well, no one can find it because those images aren't on the planet. But just because you post my picture and make outrageous claims about where it was or where you found it doesn't mean you're telling the truth. In fact, we can prove that they weren't telling the truth, can't
Yes, that's
this whole thing.
That's the next part of the story, right? So prior to this write-up that I just put up yesterday, I had not really addressed, you know, in writing at my website, these debunkers and these emails that we were sent in the fall of 2009.
Yeah.
In some of your shows, radio shows that you were doing at the time, you mentioned these attempts at these intel operatives to try to goad you into responding to their accusations that you stole, that you had used these photos, but you hadn't really written a story on it, nor did I.
Yeah, this is basically designed to discredit me, possibly.
Yeah, to discredit and to distract. And yeah, so let's say they were
and it's successful. In light of the other research that I've done.
Right, exactly. So let's say if they succeed and many people subscribe to these
mind games.
To the efforts of this cadre of intel operatives who are really behind this effort. And or the minion or stooges who they've convinced that this is, you know, all on the level. From there, then you're supposed to come to the conclusion that Don Nikoloff is a tinfoil hat wing nut. Therefore, anything Don says about anything can't be believed because, quote, we've already proven the Baoqi photos were phony. So how can you believe anything he has to say, yada, yada, yada? Now, of course, by extension, because You know, I do radio shows with you. I talk about your stuff on my website. By extension, since I, you know, talked about the photos with you, I put up info on my website to for people to see the photos. So I, too, must be part of your, you know, tinfoil hat network. So therefore, anything Ken Adachi says or has written for the last 14 or 15 years on the internet apparently is worth nothing because, quote, we just proven this guy to be a tinfoil hat, you know, nutcase who'll believe anything.
Yeah.
So, yes, that is the ultimate purpose, is to try to cast discredit on you and I based on this this juvenile attempt to steal your websites, put them up on these faked web pages, and then flood these conspiracy blogs with messages about how they, quote, debunked the Balqui photos because, you know, I wrote to Ken Adachi and I wrote to Don Nikoloff and they never answered me. So what are they afraid to, you know, that type of bluster, you know?
Well, we knew who these people were.
Of course we knew. And as I mentioned in the beginning, it's the time that it takes to respond to these agitators. I was just talking to a very sharp guy a couple of days ago, a Russian by the name of Dmitry Kozlov. Now, Z.S. Livingstone is familiar with that name because he mentioned in one of his interviews with you that Kozlov wrote a very powerful article some time ago in which he talked about his suspicion that Chernobyl was not, quote, a natural event.
Yes.
That it was, in fact, a planted nuclear device explosion.
I always said that in Mount St. Helens, too.
Yeah, right. You mentioned the possibility of that. But just for now, I just want to talk about Kozlov. And Z.S. had said in one of his interviews with her that he recalls this article that Kozlov had that wrote, in which he had said that he suspected it was a nuke setup. Now, Z.S. had said from the very beginning that the Fukushima reactor explosions were due to a nuclear device. It was not due to an explosion of hydrogen gas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm talking to Kozlov, having a very interesting conversation. I'm going to be posting some of his articles about 9/11 and the nuclear devices that were planted under the World Trade Center buildings, et cetera. Very, very sharp guy. Strikes me as very intelligent. Well, anyway, the part of the conversation, though, in which he really became annoyed was when we got onto the idea of people who were debunking him. He would get emails from these people who would start accusing him of trying to, quote, make money on the 9/11 disaster. And, you know, he spent a lot of time writing a long essay defending himself. And I told him, I said, Dmitry, it is routine. It's de rigueur. Whenever you publish something on the internet that hits home, that hits a nerve, I says, you can take it to the bank that you're going to be inundated with emails from these type of individuals because that's their job.
They're working for the Zionist bankers, and you can take it to the bank again.
Yeah, and the military, the Air Force particularly, but also the Army, has units devoted to counterintelligence, let's say, agitators on the internet. Anywhere you have a blog or you have a YouTube that, let's say, reveals hidden information that the government would rather not you know about, these postings will be flooded with these trolls,
mm-hmm.
who will denigrate the poster, who will disparage him, who will mock him, who will ridicule him. The more intense the ridicule, the more accurate the report, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't surprise me that we would get debunkers with the Balqui photos, with the Galaxy photos, probably with, there was certainly an attempt to debunk the event that took place at on January 28th at the Dome of the Rock, in which General Jeremiah reported to you what he had done there. There was some excellent video from cell phone cameras that had recorded that event. So we had a show on February 2. We talked about that. So I'm sure that these sort of events, or let's say...
Actually, just so you know, and the listening audience knows, I was the one that informed him about the video.
Okay, right. He didn't know. However, he had told you of what transpired with him.
They weren't seeking attention, you know.
Yes, they weren't seeking attention, but people who were there, it took place in the evening of January 28th.
1 o'clock in the morning, yeah.
Yeah, okay, 1 o'clock in the morning. And some people there with cell phone cameras recorded it and put it on YouTube. And we had at least three really sharp video clips. They were only a few minutes long, 2 or 3 minutes long, I'm forgetting. But you could see on video what General Jeremiah had described to you over the phone as to what happened. They disarmed a nuclear device that was sequestered under the Dome of the Rock mosque. That's what occurred that night. So we talked about it. I wrote about it. I had this gal who's very good at transcribing, type up a transcript of that show, et cetera. So the motivation of the government, intelligence agencies, et cetera, the military, who's ever involved in these counterintelligence efforts, their motivation is to cast doubt on anything you have to say or anything I have to say. So how do they do it? Well, they don't do it directly because that doesn't work. They do it obliquely by attacking the Balqui photos.
And the character of the messenger, too.
Yes, right, right. So they attack the photos, but they do that in a very obsequious way. Hey, Ken, I'm one of your favorite fans. I'm such a steady reader. I really love what you're doing, Ken, but, you know, I'm a little bit concerned. These Balqui photos, hey, buddy, look what I found at this website in Russia. It's the same photo. Come on, you can't be falling for this crap. Somebody's pulling your leg, Ken. You know, that type of obsequious type of approach. And I'm apparently, you know, supposed to be some sort of imbecile who's just going to accept that pretense and respond to them and say, oh, gee, thanks, John Suzuki. Thanks so much for telling me. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have known. So, no, I ignore that because I don't want to give, you know, I don't want to put air under their wings. I'm just assisting them in their assigned tasks to try to create doubt.
Yeah.
So now, though, we have responded to at least part one.
Yeah.
We will continue to respond. So I'll stop because I've occupied enough time on this topic. I want ZS to.
Yeah. You did a good job describing what motivated you to write this, and you express very succinctly that one only needs to use basic logic to think about what these people are saying. They know people are affected by imagery. This is it's been part of my message on the radio for the past 4 years. You're influenced by images. You see a picture and they add a story underneath it or beside it or on top of it, and you assume that you see the truth when you look at that photo. And I had already done a couple years worth of investigation forensically, examining documents and photographs of infiltrators who were sitting in the White House. Over many, many years, this has been going on. And so by discrediting the Balqui photos, if they were to be successful, then they discredit me, they discredit you. And somehow that's going to stop the truth from getting out. It doesn't matter what these minions say about it. It doesn't change the fact that they're photos of Balqui, period. There's nothing more in that regard to say about it. But we're going to tackle the forensic side of this, because I know you have some stuff that you want to share in that regard. ZS, you have been so patient. sitting in the
back. It's great hearing Ken, full of energy, going for that long. That's very, very good.
Yes. Well, you see, there is a God after all.
Yes.
Now, make whatever comments you want to make on, you know, in light of what we have been discussing here, because you're quite familiar with these tactics yourself, but
yes,
also
yes.
You have your own impressions about this whole story. And I'd like to, you know, from your heart, I'd like you to share what you feel and what you see.
Well, way back in the 1970s, I was told that there was a group of progressive planets with their own spacecraft around, and I was given the number 500 by my teacher. And so when you said the United Galactic Federation had 500 plus planets, my ears perked up, because I've already heard something about that 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. And also my teacher was with George Van Tassel out in the desert, Mojave Desert, in the 1950s. And in the 1970s, he said, be careful of all those UFO groups. If you go to a meeting, more than half the people in there will be CIA and FBI. And that was his experience, was 1951 through 1958 in Southern California.
Yes.
So even though they, that same time, they're saying that UFOs were figments of people's imagination, Venus, a weather balloon, swamp gas, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They had so many people out in the field beating the bushes to get information about what is happening in communication with people and extraterrestrials. The psychics, those who were having direct contact, like George Van Tassel and Bob Beck, and so they were both, and they were also using black magic techniques of deep hypnotism to create trance channelers. A lot of the poor channeled material is stuff which was created through the work of Andrea Puharich. The best stuff never got published. And he was around from Army Intelligence during the Vietnam era until 1995, when he passed away. He was constantly on tracking down UFO information and sending reports to his bosses, and then publishing what he was allowed to publish, and directing people to go to him so that their reports would go to his bosses.
Mm-hmm.
And so here they're trying to debunk it, and yet they want that information.
Mm-hmm.
And then yet also with remote viewings, which started in the 1970s, which is actually all Scientology people, Hal Puthoff and L. Ron Hubbard and other people who were involved in that, and a lot of the people who were at Stanford Research Institute doing the work of developing a way of looking at distant viewing. We're going distant viewing other planets for the bosses. Again, the CIA, FBI, all the three-letter agencies who wanted an inside scoop. When Robert Monroe started the Monroe Institute, he had the gift of being able to travel out of his body, and he also had the gift of being able to travel through time. And he was actually going beyond astral projecting. He was going into conscious projecting through going up the golden cord to the fifth dimension, parking his fourth dimensional body beside his third dimensional body in their laboratories in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was able to travel to other planets in other time periods, and they were expecting to get reports back, which they could use to, and they wanted military information. They wanted him to report what their plans were for Planet Earth, those he contacted with. And, of course, he was funded. And in his three books he wrote, he was very careful to hint at that connection to the intelligence agencies. But he didn't report what he reported. In the book, or right into the book, what he reported to the bosses, but he just hints at it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a picture of these hungry people in the background wanting military advantage over extraterrestrials.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that as long as you're not just killing people for the sake of imprisoning the rest of the planet as a convenience. Yeah,
well, that's exactly what they're doing.
Yes, exactly.
They're trying to keep their mitts on this planet.
Mm-hmm. If it's a,
or the claws.
If it's a malevolent group that's attacking the planet, it's one thing. Here you're dealing with a secret cadre of people who have historically, for thousands of years, at least straight on, they've got a 1,000 batting average over the past 13,000 years of just creating wars. Over and over.
Yes.
And that's what they do. The people blindly just, okay, you say we have to have another war. I guess I'll have to have some kids, and in 18 years you can take them, and I'll never see them again, but it's to save our country. You know, this naive impression that everything the government does is... as a benefactor, when it's proven itself, and this is a reason why they try to debunk this information. This is true information, whether you want to believe it or not. I don't ask you to believe anything. Knowing it is a different story. And so, ZS, you're confirming many of the things that we've said on other shows, even what I said last week on Thursday night. I did sort of a preface to what goes on behind the scenes for the purposes of the Jack Parsons story. But
JPL.
Yes. It still applies to this as well. And I know Ken's back there thinking, yeah, there's something I could say about it. Ken, you want to just chime in for a moment here before we go into the forensic examination of these photographs?
Well, no, I think you've both covered it fairly well. I think the listener can sort of get the idea that, you know, in all cases, you and I, ZS, we're trying to present the information that we believe is accurate and true, and you know, no one's claiming infallibility, but you know, what's the point of presenting anything that you know is, let's say, not true?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? It doesn't accomplish anything of value. And I think if you look at the total sum of a person's efforts, if they appear to be a sort of individual who's striving to learn the truth of any situation, particularly in this day and age, there are so many people, agencies, organizations whose sole purpose is to deceive. I mean, the government is, we're paying these people our tax dollars to deceive us. They're being paid. They're studying psychological techniques, the Tavistock Institute, et cetera. These are filled with psychologists whose goal is to deceive
mm-hmm.
people about, to steer you to create these false impressions of reality that, you know, today we call psyops, because they're operations. It's not like
a freak happening.
A freak happening. It's a dedicated mission
mm-hmm.
to deceive the public. So here we're trying to slice through this organized, you know, mainstream news media. This is a propaganda operation. It's nothing to do with news.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do with the storyline, which the governments, the illuminated governments of the world, wish for the citizens to believe. It has nothing to do with truthfulness or reality. I mean, that stopped, you know, at the beginning of the 20th century. Any semblance of truthfulness in newspapers, that stopped before 1915.
Mm-hmm. So, I heard a quick comment from Phyllis Schlafly today, this evening, actually, on her radio show. And she was revealing that 80%, I think she referred to it as a Gallup poll. And we know the purpose of polls, but this was interesting information nonetheless. 80% of the teachers in America, in the public and I guess private schools, are teaching creationism. They're bucking the system, which is demanding that they teach evolution, especially in biology. Somehow that's, and that means that species can jump from one to another, you know, which is what they try to do in laboratories. But I found it interesting that they were taking the stand and they told the children, you don't have to believe what they tell you in evolution. You don't have to believe any of this. The point is to get you to open your minds and discover who you are. Hasn't that been our message? You know, open your minds, but open your hearts too, because it goes much deeper. If you're going to ride the silver or the gold cord and go into other realms of consciousness, which are possible. Here, we have three people on the show tonight together that know that this is possible and have listened to accounts from others who have done the same thing. It's not an accident. It's actually more plausible than it is to find a Balqui volcano on a Nicaraguan tourist site. You know.
Yeah.
ZS, well, you wanna comment real fast here before we go into this?
That could not be a volcano in Nicaragua. The ice cap on that volcano is more than halfway down the cone. If there was an ice cap on a Nicaraguan volcano, it'd only be at the tip top. That's over 17,000 feet.
There. So
that's another forensic, a little bit tidbit about Nicaragua.
Thank you. Well, Ken, I informed you that there is a way to distinguish the origination of a photograph if it was taken with the camera. Once it's been manipulated, however, that information disappears. Okay. Or it's layered, masked. Okay, and we found using a process that I've developed.
Yes.
We found that these photos that were posted on these Russian and Nicaraguan and wherever else websites are phony in the sense that they're not representing what they claim to be representing. They weren't taken with an Earth manufactured camera. I can tell you that.
The original Balqui photos were taken by a member of the UGF who was physically present there in Balqui, and they weren't using a Nikon camera, something that was obtained in the United States or in Japan or on Earth. These groups are capable, since they're capable of traveling in these spacecraft, are capable of making their own cameras. And therefore, they don't use the same technology and they're not using the same stamp, that one would find with digital cameras that you can buy at the local Target department store.
I was going to say, your reader made mention to the fact, and this is the one that emailed you, made mention to the fact that he was interested in knowing if the images that I posted on my website, which were given to me by General Jeremiah through the United Galactic Federation, could be duplicated with earthly means. Now, listen, I don't mean to demean somebody who may be genuinely asking the question, but if we adhere to what we've been adhering to throughout the course of this conversation and in our research, it's a loaded question, which is really rather ridiculous. They're duplicating flying saucers and you're asking if they can duplicate a picture? We got the technology from the aliens. Duh.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the response. I said that to you yesterday, if you recall. Yes. Yes. It's a simple response. But for those who cannot take that as absolute truth, we can take it a step further and we can examine what the photographs look like inside, can't we?
Yes, that's the interesting thing, really. That's was probably the most interesting thing, perhaps, that we'll talk about tonight is this idea that I found out from you. I, of course, had no idea about this until you told me about it a few years ago. But a digital photo, the only type of photograph you can view on a computer is a digital photo, because all data in a computer is what they call binary. Therefore, when you're viewing a photograph on a computer screen, you're looking at a digital photo. I didn't know it, but the elements that make up the photo are composed of information, let's say, that can be viewed in another way.
Mm-hmm.
One could convert it into something known as a PDF file, which is a sort of file that's normally used to reproduce words and images in a let's say a story or an article. It's common today. It takes very little memory, and you can embed photographs and printed text in it. It looks very nice when you print it out. So it's an easy way to send as emails, et cetera, or to send as files. So we've been using PDF files for a number of years now. And you had found out a way to take the data that is seen on a picture visually as, you know, elements of the picture, and to convert it into a PDF file, in which now you see a printout of the PDF and you see a large number of characters and symbols. And those characters and symbols translate into the visual pixels that make up the image that you're
viewing. Yeah, I would say every software has this language embedded in it.
Right, see?
You see?
Now, I didn't know this until you told me that. I was amazed when you first told me that. Just so hopefully people who are hearing this for the first time will be equally intrigued that you can convert a photograph on a computer into a file, a PDF file, which is loaded with these symbols. Now, what I said in my write-up is, if I used a given photograph, let's call it photo A, and I don't know how to do it, but you know how to do it. You convert it into a PDF file for me, and you send it to me. I could print it out on my printer, which I did the other day when you first did this for me. Now, if I was to take the same photo that you had made the printout of, and ask you, Don, print me another PDF file of that photo, and you did it 2 days later and sent that file to me, that file will be identical to the first file you sent me. All of the characters would be the same, the symbols, the characters. All of the spacing between the characters and symbols would be, in other words, it would be an identical PDF file if you made a PDF a second time of that same photo and hadn't altered it in any way. However, if you were to do something to alter the photo, let's say you changed the dimension of the photo, you made it bigger, you made it smaller. Let's say you changed the contrast of the photo. You just made any sort of change, even a minor one, that perhaps to the eye was not easily detected. Let's say you made a minor change in the contrast. Not a big one, just a little bit. Let's say you increase the blue slightly, just as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So that the average person seeing that photo and the previous one couldn't detect the change. It was so minor and so slight. However, if you then made a PDF of the second image, which you might made a slight change to, that change would register in the PDF printout. It would register as a change. If you were to compare every symbol, every letter, every character of the PDF file, you would find somewhere in comparing the two files, the two PDFs, there would be changes in the characters, in the location, the gap, the spacing, whatever, in the second one. Why? Because you altered the image in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So, based on this interesting observation, which you did, is you made a PDF file of the Balqui photo exactly as you received it from General Jeremiah. You sent a copy to me. I printed out on my printer. In that file, as I mentioned in my story, the name of my story, by the way, I forgot to mention it. Anyone who wants to look for it, it's at the top of my latest article pages on Current News, which is the page I put all my new stuff on. You go down to latest articles in the article that says General Jeremiah and Planet Balqui photos.
You have to go to educate-yourself.org first.
Yes, that's my website, correct. And then once you're there,
click on Current News.
And then from there, go to Latest Articles. And from there, General Jeremiah and Planet Balqui photos. That's the article I'm referring to. It explains there, and I show an illustration, that the photographs that were lifted from your site, copied, and then used by these agents who then fabricated these web pages pretending to be part of a photo album website in Russia, pretending to be a page of this website called iStockPhoto.com, pretending to be a page from a Nicaraguan tourist website, etc. What they did is that when they took your photo, they changed some aspects of it. In some cases, there was hardly any change beyond simply the dimension of the photo. They made it smaller. They made it larger.
Yeah, they made a complete compilation of the photo and used it as a background element. And I revealed to you two layers in that photograph. That was right. One of the photographs that they were sending you the links to.
Yeah, one of those photographs, I didn't put it in the story yet, but it's true. One of those pictures in which they took the Balqui photo and then they modified it. In fact, there was a number of Balqui photos that they modified. So when you digitally modify a photo in a editing program like Photoshop, you're adding what is known as another layer to it. And you could add multiple layers to photos. And then the final product is called a compilation. All the layers are embedded there, so the viewer only sees one picture, but the PDF data, the PDF readout, reveals all of those layers that were inserted.
And it's quite a bit different, isn't it? The header and the first few paragraphs are using keywords to produce high positions on Google searches, and they're using copyright information going back as far as 1998. I mean, this is utterly ridiculous what they're doing. And then huge gaps in between the data, which indicates layering, you see?
Right, right.
They remove that data to remove that part of the picture, you see?
Correct.
The program does that.
The program does it, right. The operator, the people who are manipulating and compiling these false photos from your Balqui shots are using a photo editing program. They don't see the written data that you and I are referring to.
Yes.
However, you figured out that you can make a PDF, what shall we call it? A PDF blueprint of a photograph.
Yeah, or a fingerprint, if you
will. A fingerprint. And now, when someone steals or lifts a photo off your website, manipulates it, and then puts it on a phony web page and saying, hey, this is a photo from the photo bucket here in Russia on some location, you know, in Siberia, or whatever the claim is to the photograph. I didn't read the caption. But whatever they're claiming, we can make a PDF.
Well, they use numbers, which is even crazier. You know, on these other websites, they use like catalog numbers.
Okay, fine.
Now, who's going to go searching for a photograph via a catalog number that has no description of what it is? It's absurd, like you said.
Yes, but what you've achieved here is something new. We can now have a historical fingerprint of the original photo. So if you have con artists that, you know, the intel services, you know, the government are filled with, they now have a problem because anybody can learn how to do this, I suppose. And having the ability to make a PDF readout of a digital photo is now going to make it more difficult for thieves and con artists and intel computer hackers working for the government to now deceive the public by what they attempted to do with the Balqui photos. They got a problem now.
Yeah.
Because you can present the PDF file of the original photo.
Well, I've been doing this for a few years, too.
I know it, but this is the first time we've talked about it.
Yeah.
And it's the first time, you know, you told me about this a couple of years ago, but I didn't really understand it until you explained it in greater depth over the last few days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I put up the article I did. I hope this acts as a impetus for other people to get busy now to use this technique to try to discern what photos put up on the internet by the Obama people, so many deceivers out there. Now, it's going to be much easier to be able to decipher faked photos now. I mean, you did a swell job in the photos, you faked photos of Obama and his family in your Three Stooges.
Eisenhower. Period.
The Eisenhower photos you also debunked.
Bush,
in those cases,
those
cases, you were catching visual elements in the photo that told you this is a faked photo. But here we have a secondary tool, the PDF fingerprint. So I'll stop with that.
Yeah. I'll just add that the PDF method works on all these photos we're talking about, not just the phony Balqui photos, or let's say the stolen Balqui photos that these trolls and hackers put on the internet. ZS, I know you're chomping at the bit because you've gotten some feedback where you have your own thoughts about this. What would you like to add to what we've said here?
I'm just amazed at how good Ken sounds. And
well, he's on my radio show. I hope he sounds good.
Yes. But my thoughts have been, of course, wandering to what do other planets look like? And I just, from my own inner inspection, I believe that there's just a whole bunch of other planets out there that do look like Earth, because there are humans throughout this galaxy and through other galaxies. The human blueprint is one of the blueprints that is used, and also the blueprint for conifer trees and deciduous trees is used on other planets as well as here.
Well, when the populace is brainwashed over their whole lives into these mantras that, spending their money wisely in space, looking for intelligent life, but they haven't found it yet. And I've always said, start looking here first.
Right.
Before you look outside. They're not as smart as they think they are. That's right. What's funny. This is devious. It borders on pure evil.
It does. And also they're using the human blueprint in order to get the information for their devious plots, because the blueprint which they are using is not as flexible and as powerful as the human blueprint. They demean humanity. They say it's something to be wiped out. 90% of the people will need to be wiped off the planet in order so that they will have total control of the planet. But the real resource of the planet is the human population, the consciousness in the humans, and the ability for that population to grow and learn spiritually and to progress into other realms. And it's so trying to data mine people with spiritual gifts, psychic gifts, and then reverse it against humanity and claim that humanity is just the dirt of the – it's just dirt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a lie.
Yeah. Well
– so the way that they've been trying to ground you into the dirt, meaning your spiritual gifts, is part of that same process.
Well, see, they know I'm telling the truth. They know it. They know that these, and because you're not seeing, as I said in an email I sent to Ken, and he posted on his website regarding this issue, what was it, a few days ago or a week, Ken? In any event, I said, you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for something that reminds you of the Jetsons cartoon series? A planet is a planet. It's only what the people on the planet do to the planet that gives it the characteristics of technology that you are demanding to see. And you know, here we have these people making these challenges. Oh, give the general a DNA test. Like, what is that going to prove? You know?
Prove he's just Texan.
yeah, you know, So you have these ridiculous demands being made by people who are just trying to stir the pot and dirty the water, otherwise pristine water. There's, right. You know, what harm does a photograph do? Well, when it tells the truth, when it totally shatters the mental constructs that they've spent thousands of years building to control the populace, the masses of the planet, the real producers, then they get a little bit agitated. We did this with the swine flu and the bird flu vaccine thing, and we exposed the financial fraud. I presented on my website as a news item on my news page, the revelation that IBM had announced in 2006 that there was going to be a pandemic in the next 5 years, and this is how we were going to run the company, was the nature of the document, but that the World Health Organization was going to make this official announcement, and everyone at IBM was going to be quarantined. Now, how do they get that information if there's not a conspiracy to murder billions of people? Why would they publish that to their key staff in France? See? And then the email started, how did you get that document? Well, it doesn't matter how I got it. I got it. How did I get the pictures? The same way in the email.
Right.
You know, you've got email. You know how it works.
Right.
But I didn't go trolling around fictitious websites looking for something that wouldn't have been there because it hadn't been stolen from my website yet. I got the pictures from the source. It's as simple as that. And I think we've made that point very clear. Certainly somebody, anyone who really wants to look at this and see a Federation craft also, because that picture's been on my website for some time. They haven't tried to debunk that one for some reason. It's interesting, but nevertheless, that's a craft that's been identified as belonging to the United Galactic Federation. Galaxy of Hendon. It's not the Federation of Light. It's not the Gaia people. And, you know, look up the meaning of the word Gaia, folks, before you start calling this planet Gaia. It's the daughter of chaos. Okay? I mean, you don't even know why you're calling things what you call them, and you want to challenge a simple thing like a photograph. I mean, it's amazing to me that people rely so much on imagery that all they have to do to shatter the truth, to destroy the truth, is to make up a story about where the photograph really came from. It's childish. You see, and when it's destructive, you can identify where it comes from right there. Is it a coincidence that Ken is harassed by people in his neck of the woods that work for some of the universities that are affiliated with JPL and NASA? Is it any surprise that he would be harassed by those people with the amount of truth he has on his website? Or that you, ZSL, and the things that you research intuitively and bring out the truth on with tremendous accuracy, that you would be harassed by people all over the planet? You know, go ahead.
Yeah, they're using, they wrote a piece which broke the information that reactor number 3 did not have any fuel rods in it. Now, on Rents.com, they're saying that all the fuel rods were in the rafters of the building that were destroyed by the tactical nukes, which were blasted off at or near ground level. And they are therefore projecting these 13-foot-long fuel rods all over the area around the nuclear reactors. And yet they have photographs of the people cleaning up those same roads with paper hazmat suits and respirators. If they had tubes like that blown through the roof in all different directions, the radiation count would be 10 or 15 times larger, and they would have evacuated a long ways away. And the radiation is not what they're reporting. And there were no fuel rods in reactor number 3 and possibly all 4 that were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
There was another power source they were using. And a friend of mine in Ottawa dug up a photograph of that same reactor number 3 looking at the water storage tank or the water containment tank for the spent fuel rods and for the active fuel rods.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no fuel rods a year earlier in that water tank or in this up in the rafters and the ceiling. There was no fuel. They were running on a different power source.
Mm. Well, I don't have any reason to doubt that, because I was told that what we revealed to the world last Friday was 100% accurate.
Yeah.
We had figured this out, and we actually did it by describing the events backwards.
Right.
And
now they're saying that all 4 reactors have melted down. Where are the steam plumes? It would be like four old faithfuls continuously erupting if there was a meltdown. There is no steam rising out of the mm-hmm. shells of the reactor buildings.
Such is the nature of disinformation.
Yeah.
Well, gentlemen, we're almost out of time. I do want to sort of segue into another song that sort of wraps up what we've been talking about tonight. From the perspective of describing these trolls and hackers that are just bent on obfuscating the truth and deceiving the whole world about a very simple truth that was brought out. Yes, there are other planets in the galaxy where there is life, and they are able to take pictures, and they have actually some rather beautiful photographs. I didn't see any chemtrails in the Balqui photos. Did you notice that?
clear blue sky.
So, gentlemen, I want to give you a few minutes while we listen to this next song to consider what you might say in wrapping up tonight's show. And this is courtesy of the Bee Gees, believe it or not. boy, the title certainly applies tonight, doesn't it, DS?
Yes, jive talking.
Don't quit your day job now. No. your closing comment. You can see why I picked that song.
Yes, very definitely.
There's always a song. Go ahead. Your closing.
Now, the brothers Gibbs, they knew what the word meant.
Yes.
And I'm still laughing here.
I laughed through the whole song. I had to mute my mic. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah. All these people are trying to discredit the truth, and they blast away at the truth, or blast away at it, and try to discredit it through innuendo and subterfuge, as you're pointing out earlier. Yet the truth stands on its own two feet,
mm-hmm.
and it weathers it, and is there years later. And things like the false websites will just fade away. The false witnesses will fade away.
Well, that sounds pretty spiritual there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they do this with no forethought of the consequences that they're going to someday face in some way. I'm not saying what those will be, but yeah. there are consequences.
Yes, what goes around comes around. So those who wish to perpetrate lies will have to face a whole bunch of lies and stand on their own truth and reveal, bring the truth forward eventually. They'll have to admit it.
Yeah. Are you heartened by this revelation that we can forensically investigate photographs? And I encourage people to do it. I mean, this is no secret. The thought that if you think about the manufacturing process behind IC chips and coprocessors and all the graphics cards and audio cards, there's a language, and we know there's this recurring story throughout accounts of alien visitation or people from other planets coming here to the Earth. Our people are doing the same thing. Why is this so crazy, right? So we hear this repeated story that we exchange technology to give them a place to live because their planet had been destroyed or their people were dying and they made some bad choices, didn't they? So they've had to hide that, and they've had to disparage anyone who's brought the truth about that out into the open. Many people have been murdered for having shared this type of truth. But there has to come a point where finally somebody stands up and says, this is all illusion. They are the ones with fear. You have no reason to fear. Claim your strength. Claim your true inner power. Become aware and conscious of who you really are. To me, that's what the underlying message in all this is.
Yes. So, I agree.
Okay. Well, ZS, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight and your comments. Though they were few and far between, and that's my fault. They were very poignant and very heartening.
Yes,
from my perspective. Definitely. So before I say goodnight to you, I want to give Ken Adachi the same opportunity and sort of wrap this up tonight. And I thought it was a great discussion.
Well, thanks, Don. Yeah, I'm going to echo a sentiment similar to what ZS had to say. We took tonight's show to essentially look at the case of a group of individuals who have been flooding internet blog sites for the most part in the last couple of years, I suppose, with accusations that the Balqui photos were stolen, and from these obscure tourist websites and obscure photo album posting websites in Russia, of all places. So normally I rather not devote time to addressing the provocations of debunkers and these individuals, you know, intel trolls for the most part, because they eat up a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
My ego doesn't require that I, respond to people who are clearly trying to provoke me just to get a reaction out of me, to eat up my time, to have me post, a debate with them or an argument with them in my letter section, et cetera, et cetera. So normally I ignore them. There are occasions in which, because you ignore them, they, again, will go to numerous blogs and claim that I'm afraid to respond to them because I can't, they got me, you know, that type of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the intensity of that builds up to such a degree that I feel it's necessary. I got to do something. This happened with Ted Gunderson's when the people who were working very hard to smear, to discredit him, to smear his character, et cetera, back around the year 2000. For a while there, I told Ted to ignore these people. Barbara Hartwell particularly was, but there was others, Virginia McCullough. There was a group of seven or eight people. And for a while there, I told him, Ted, she wants you to respond to her. That's why she's writing these slam pieces about you. And I says, you'll respond, then she'll respond to that. And back and forth, it'll go forever. That's fine with them because that's what she wants. Because no one's reading her. But if you respond to her and I put it on my website, then a lot of people are going to read her crap who otherwise would not pay attention. So I've always had that in the back of my mind. At the same time, though, this group of agitators were now having so much effect in smearing Ted that he was uninvited from speaking at a conference. I think it was in the year 2000. He was invited to give a talk at the conference, but because this group of character assassins were doing their best to make Ted look like a double agent, they had contacted the people who ran the thing and said, you know, this is Ted Gunderson, you know, he's not who he appears to be, and they would just fill his ear with a lot of poison pen diatribes, and they bought it, and they called up Ted and said, listen, we're canceling. We don't want you. So once Ted told me that, I told myself, well, I have to start responding. So for a few years, I don't know how long, for maybe 3 or 4 years, whenever Hartwell or McCulloch or any of these character assassins came out with a particularly poison pen attack against Ted, I started to defend them. And gradually, I did notice that the dozen or so websites that were posting Barbara Hartwell's poison pen diatribes against Ted, they stopped posting her stuff because I was rebutting her specious and totally fabricated charges against Ted. It's amazing how that woman can make things up at a keyboard. So, but it took a lot of time to do that. And I didn't really want to devote the time to that, but I felt I had to.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, I took the time to write this piece. There's going to be two or three or four other pieces followed up just to make sure that these folks at least get some counter reaction.
Get the attention that they're seeking, but it won't.
Yes, they're getting some attention, but it's not going to be the attention they'll necessarily want.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that that we can, discuss it, air the entire topic, and then so that enough readers will, who are interested. I don't believe most people are interested in these things anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're interested in information that's going to be beneficial and helpful to them, and that's what I'd rather concentrate on. That's
sure.
I get the most pleasure from that, of talking about topics that present useful, beneficial information. This is what I enjoy doing. This is what I counsel people on my forum, which I never have time to read or participate in, but I have a forum, and I tell people on the forum, I'm looking for people who want to participate in constructive conversations, not, you know, attacking each other, hot and heavy arguments and debates and screaming and, you know, swearing. Who wants that? You know, that's a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what these trolls try to instigate.
Yeah.
They try to get me to respond to them, try to get you to respond to them under the guise of, oh, they're concerned, friendly fans and readers, but they're concerned about X. No, no, no. They wanted to draw me into a debate and hope that I'll get just as, you know, upset as possible. And just that's their job. Agitators,
mm-hmm.
agent provocateurs. That's what they are.
Yes. Well, so, it's clear that this technology that is used in computers goes much deeper than what anyone sees on the screen,
yeah.
or on their keyboard.
Yeah,
and it goes a lot further, much deeper, and it can be revealed in an interesting way. Really can, and we have done that. We have debunked the debunkers.
I'm very happy you explain this. I think other people who read the story, who have the technical interest and the technical skill, are going to find there's a new tool now. There's a new tool, and this PDF printout of a digital image is that tool. It's going to be a lot harder for these guys to fake, manipulate digital photos now. So that's the value of this show. You know, yeah, okay, we had to address the debunkers, but the real gem of the show was the revelation about this new tool. The PDF readout of a digital photo image reveals valuable information for people who want to take the time to examine it.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I've been using this for going on 3 years,
yeah,
pretty steadily. And because I'm as interested in finding out the source of a photo as I am in determining if it's a genuine photograph. I mean, when you've got people looking gaga up at the ceiling like they're looking for cobwebs or an escaped moth, while the shutter is clicking, and especially in the day when it was in vogue to look at the camera.
Yes, I'll just remind, just so the listener will understand, you had analyzed a bunch of Obama family photographs in which the participants, let's say three individuals are in the photo, they're all looking at a different focal point in the photo.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're getting at. If the photo was an honest representation, everyone who was photographed would be looking at the camera. That's what people normally do when they pose for a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're getting at. In many of the photos you analyzed as being compiled fakes, they're looking entirely different locations.
Yeah, and when you examine it, even just as a photo, when you examine it for things that look strange, and you enlarge it a little bit just to get a better view, and things start pixelating suddenly. Well, you know, you're dealing with a compressed picture that was intentionally compressed to hide what's now being revealed.
Right.
See? And then making a little adjustments to it to see how it reacts. You know, when you close the blinds of your house, say in the living room, it darkens the room if there's sunlight outside. It darkens the room. Now, depending on how thick they are, you can make your living room be pitch black or just dimmed. But certainly it looks different from when you open those curtains. You certainly know when your curtains are closed. And it's one thing to say the curtains are open, but they're really closed. And these are the kinds of anomalies that you find in these photographs when you begin investigating them. There are things going on where one person has a white line drawn around their body, the silhouette of their body, and the other person, who happens to be wearing light clothing, has a black line around his body. And they do that to blend in with the background. They darken the background They posted on the internet dark and obscure, so you can't see the details. Go to Facebook and look at the pictures there. I saw one picture that was a black box, but when I downloaded the picture and added exposure to it, I could see a face. I turned it back down. I didn't want to look at the face. But I'm telling you, you can use simple photographic techniques using just any computer's picture viewer. You can make adjustments to it to determine for yourself. This is not something that just I or Ken Adachi or Z.S. Livingstone know how to do. Ken's a master at bringing out detail in photographs. He's a master at it. And he has the patience to do it because he sees things going on that are not normal, that shouldn't be there, but they're there. And that's the whole thing, is we're messengers. We're bringing you the truth. We're not asking you to believe us, but we're giving you a preponderance of evidence that supports our claims. You make your own decisions in that regard. Gentlemen, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight, first of all. Ken, I want to congratulate you on doing this analysis the way you did, with the integrity that you did. You gave the bad guys publicity, but you also exposed the fraud behind their actions, and I thank you for doing that.
Okay, thanks, Don.
C.S., I also wish you a good night and want to thank you for being on the show. And keep up the good work with your essays and your intuition.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. And our guests, Ken Adachi and Zuranova Star Livingstone. Please go to educate-yourself.org and read up on this story. Have a look, see for yourself. It's all there in plain black and white, and some color photographs. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio tonight, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. Don and Doug Newsom are to be thanked for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be scientist inventor Jim Murray. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.